A Baptist preacher who praised the attack in Orlando is sparking outrage in Sacramento. Pastor Roger Jimenez's remarks came on Sunday morning, just hours after the attack.
Verity Baptist Church Pastor Roger Jimenez's controversial sermon was uploaded to YouTube, where he faced backlash over his remarks following the Orlando shooting.
Here in Northern California, controversy continues to brew. Hundreds prepared to take a stand this morning against what they call the hateful words of a Sacramento pastor.
But I spoke to Pastor Roger Jimenez just a short time ago. He's sticking behind his words. He has no regrets. In fact, he's telling me tonight, yes, Orlando is safer because of these deaths. This is a YouTube clip of the sermon that has since been taken down by YouTube.
The original sermon was posted online by the Verity Baptist Church. YouTube has removed the video as a violation of the site's policy against hate speech.
Deal with a very serious subject, a very important subject. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have spiritual ears. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be ready to receive your word, Lord, to not approach the Bible with any preconceived ideas, but Father, that we would be willing and ready to take the stand that we need to take. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray, amen. All right, well, we're there in Judges chapter number 19. And Judges 19, in my opinion, is probably the most graphic chapter in all the Word of God. And people who say the Bible is a boring book have never read it. And there's just a lot of crazy stories in the Bible. And to be honest with you, I love the Word of God. I don't necessarily like reading Judges 19. It's a very interesting chapter. But this morning, I woke up, and often after I spend time in the Word of God and, you know, spend time in prayer, I will go on the computer on a Sunday morning and kind of review my sermon notes for the sermon. And I was checking my email, and I see on the news, I saw that there was a shooting of 50 dead. I thought, that's insanity, 50 dead. Good night. And but I didn't have time to look at it. I just reviewed my sermon notes. And as I'm driving to church, my wife and I actually drove separate vehicles, which is not something we normally do. And I turned on the radio just to catch a little bit of the news on the way to church. And I hear that there was about this shooting this morning, Sunday, June 12th. There was a shooting where we're told that an Islamic terrorist, I guess is what you would call him or what they're calling him, went into a gay bar, which I don't even like to use those terms, but that's the term they use, and shot up and killed 50 sodomites. And I thought to myself, I had a sermon written for tonight, but I thought, you know what, I want to take some time tonight and kind of just teach you the biblical response that we should have as Christians when events like these happen in America, throughout the world, because these things are going to be used, these events, these news are going to be used to push an agenda. And we need to be ready as Christians to be, the Bible says that we should be ready to give an answer. And we should be ready to be able to speak up and to say, well, here's what I think and here's what my thoughts are. And we need to be able to get back to the Word of God and let the Bible kind of teach us how it is that we should think about things. And here's what you need to understand. The Bible says that we need to renew our minds, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the problem as Christians living in America today is that we often spend so much time in the world and so much time influenced by the media of the world that we don't even know how it is that we're supposed to respond in a biblical way and what it is that we're supposed to look at in Scripture and how we're supposed to think about things. And I want to try to help you tonight just to kind of say, well, what is the biblical response? What is a Christian supposed to do? How is a Christian supposed to respond? I want to give you just several points tonight in regards to that. Number one, if you'd like to write this down, I'd appreciate it. As a Christian, we shouldn't be mourning the death of 50 sodomites. Let me just go ahead and start right there. As a Christian, we shouldn't be sad or upset or, the Muslims are tripping all over themselves right now, trying to, talk about the fact that this is not part of our religion and this is not what we believe. And they're calling for Islam to, for all Muslims in America to be donating blood to these people that were shot in this event. And I know that it's not going to be too, it's probably already happening. It won't be too far down the road before Christian so-called leaders are tripping all over themselves to say that we need to unite and that this is a tragedy and this is that. But let me explain something to you. The biblical response, and some of you may think like, I've never heard this before, and I'll just encourage you, just look at what the Word of God says and look at what the Bible says before you make any ideas or you make any accusations. And here's the point that I want you to understand. As Christians, we shouldn't be sitting there and say like, whoa, that's a tragedy, or whoa, that's a bad thing, or we're upset, or we're mourning, or we're, something needs to be done about this. As Christians, we shouldn't be mourning the death of these 50 sodomites. You say, well, why is that? Here's why that is. Because the Bible teaches that these sodomites are all, every single one of them, a predator. Now, you may say like, well, that's not what society teaches, and I understand that. But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to understand this. Everything that's in the Bible is all we need to know about anything. The Word of God gives us in the knowledge that we need to know to see life. We don't need to see life through the scope of America or through the scope of CNN or Fox News. We just need to go to the Bible and let the Bible explain to us what we are to think and what we are to believe. And here's what you need to understand. The Bible paints the picture of the sodomites, every single one of them, being a predator. We're there in Judges chapter number 19. Look down at verse number 22. We read the entire story in its context, but we won't take the time to go through it again. But look at verse number 22. The Bible says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city. Notice what he calls them, certain sons of Belial. Belial is the devil. He says, these men of the city, these were sons of Satan. They were certain sons of Belial. Beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying. Now notice what they said. They said, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. Now, I want you to notice that word know at the end of the verse there, where it says that we may know him. Keep your finger there in Judges 19. Go with me real quickly to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4 should be fairly easy to find. First book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 4. And I want you to understand this. When they says that they want to know him, it's not like they were having, a neighborhood gathering. And they're like, well, we just want to introduce ourselves, make ourselves available if they need help, moving in or something. The Bible uses that word know in a little bit different of a context. Are you there in Genesis chapter 4? Look at verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. And Adam knew. You see that word knew? And Adam knew Eve, his wife. Notice, and she conceived. Okay? So when the Bible talks about knowing someone or they knew, it's just a word that's being used to refer to a physical act between a man and a woman here, where it produced her being with child. The Bible says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And I'll just show you that one example, but there's examples throughout the Bible where that term is used that way. So if you go back to Genesis 19, when these men come and they're beating at the door, and they're saying, hey, bring out the man that we may know him, they're talking about abusing them. They're talking about taking advantage of them. Look at verse number 23. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren. Now look, he understood what they were doing was going to be wicked, because he says, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you. Notice what he says. Do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. He's saying, don't do this. This is wicked what you want to do. Look at verse 24. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden. Now this is crazy. I don't think this is right. I think this guy, but we see Lot do the same thing in Genesis 19. We'll look at that in a second. And here's what happens. And you need to understand this. Christians who live, or you say, well, good, normal people, those who live in a society where they have perverseness abounding around them, they begin to think in perverted ways. And they begin to think that things that are just wicked are acceptable. And here you got this guy trying to be the hero. And notice what he says. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, his concubine. Them will I bring out bring out now, and humble ye them. That term humble is another term used for that same idea of know them or having a relationship with them. And he says, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man, notice what he says, do not so vile a thing. You see that word vile? That's the word that God uses throughout the Bible, not the only word, but that's one of the words that God uses to talk about this sin of sodomy. It's called sodomy, named after Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll look at it here in a second. But I want you to understand that this is a vile sin. It's a disgusting sin. It's a dirty sin. And in fact, I got some statistics here to share with you. A study done by psychologist Alan P. Bell and sociologist Martin S. Weinberg found that, and try to just wrap your head around these numbers. They found they did a study where they researched and asked a bunch of sodomites, homosexuals, anonymously, so that they could be free to say the truth and not feel like someone's going to criticize them, whatever. And here's what they found. 75% of homosexuals, this is the terminology they use, 75% of homosexuals had 100-plus partners. I mean, think about that. Think about what it would take to have 100 partners that you have a physical relationship with. And they found 75. See, this idea of like, oh, we just want to get married and we're going to be faithful to each other and we're going to be just like a married couple that gets married and then they're just together for the rest of their life and they're not out doing anything else and it's just this pure relationship. That doesn't exist in this community of sodomy. I mean, 75% of them admitted when they were asked and there was no consequences, they admitted, they said, oh yeah, 75% of us have had 100-plus partners. And it gets worse, 60% said that they'd had 250-plus partners. 43% said they'd had 500-plus partners. 28%, think about this, that's almost a quarter, one in four sodomites admitted to having 1,000-plus partners. How is that even possible? It's we don't even want to go into the details of how something like that is possible, but it's a vile sin. Amen. Look at verse 25. But notice what the Bible says, but the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, remember the term, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house and her hands were upon her threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. And none answered. She died. I mean, they abused her to the point where she died. And the man took her up upon an ass. And the man rose up and got him into his place. This is a picture that God paints. When God says, I want you to understand what happens with these sodomites, he says, let me tell you what happens. In Judges 19, he paints a picture of these men being perverts and being predators and taking advantage. And by the way, don't fall into this idea. Our society wants to classify everybody. You know, it's LGBT whatever. And it's, you know, oh, that guy's gay. And that, no, well, he's bi. Well, this passage proves they all go both ways. They're all a bunch of perverts. It's the classification is this. They're unnatural. And I'll show you that in Scripture. But go to Genesis chapter 19. Because you can say, well, that's just one story. That's quite a story. But you can say, well, that's just one story. Well, what's interesting about that, there's two stories in the Bible that are basically the same thing. Genesis chapter number 19, there's the more famous of the two. And you say, well, why does God explain it? Give us two different stories. I think he's trying to tell us this is not a unique, you know, just happened one time. I think he's trying to explain to us whenever you get a bunch of sodomites together and they rule an entire society, this is the kind of stuff that happens. They are predators. Notice Genesis 19, look at verse 4. We won't take the time to read the whole thing. Genesis 19 and verse 4, the Bible says this, but before they laid out, remember God sends the angels in to Sodom, because he's bringing Lot out to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says in verse 4, but before they laid out, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, notice, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. See the Bible, when the Bible paints this picture of the sodomites being predators. These Sodom, and by the way, let me say this, every Sodomite's a pedophile. Every single one, you know, it's an unnatural sin. It's unnatural to want to be with someone of the same sex, and it's unnatural to want to take advantage of a child. And today, you know, go to Romans, Romans chapter 1. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Today, you know, people say, like, well, aren't you sad that 50 Sodomites died? Here's the problem with that. It's like the equivalent of asking me, you know, what if you asked me, hey, are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great. I think that helps society. You know, I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. Now that 50, you know, the tragedy is that more of them didn't die. I mean, the tragedy is I'm kind of upset that he didn't finish the job. Because these people are predators. They are abusers. They take advantage of people. And look, as Christians, we need to take the stand that it is not our job to sit there and say, oh, this is a tragedy, or oh, this is something we mourn. Or look, the Bible paints a picture that these are wicked people.
That's right.
These are evil people. Are you there in Romans chapter 1? Look at verse 24. People say, well, why are you? Have you given up on the Sodomites? Don't you want to reach them and bring them into church and try to convert them? Look, here's the problem with that. Why would I try to reach someone that God gave up on?
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, look at verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Now look, you got to deal with what the Bible says. The Bible says that God, because people say today, like, well, I don't know that I agree with that whole reprobate doctrine. That's fine. You don't have to agree with the reprobate doctrine, but you've got to figure out what is God talking about in Romans chapter 1 when he says God also gave them up. Notice, to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto, don't miss it, vile affections. Now notice, he says again, he gave them up. For even their women did change the, here's the key words, you got to underline this in your Bible, the natural use. They're not natural. It's natural to want to steal if you're hungry. It's natural to want to lie if you're in trouble. Look, it's not right. It's a wicked sin. But it's natural for a man to be attracted to a woman, even if that's not his wife, and he commits adultery. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I think that's a terrible sin. I hope you wouldn't do that. And God even puts a death penalty on that. That's a wicked sin. But that's not unnatural. It is unnatural for a man to be attracted to another man, or a woman to be attracted to another woman, or for an adult to be attracted to a child or an animal. He said he gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the, verse 26, natural use into that which is, underline this in your Bible, against nature. You say, what is the category? LGBT? No, here's the categories. Normal, not normal. Natural, unnatural. Those are the categories. Look at verse 27. And likewise also the man leaving, notice, the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. They received a recompense for their error. They received a reward for their error, which was me, which was suitable. Right there, right, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, right there next to Romans 1:27, you ought to write this word, AIDS. The recompense for their error, you know what that was? AIDS. According to a 2010 study by the Center of Disease Control, this is their wording, homosexuals and bisexual men, they're the same, represent, now catch this, they represent 2% of the United States population. Think about that. Our media makes it sound like they're 50% of the population. I mean, Hollywood makes it sound like, I mean, it's like half of society. It's just a bunch of sodomites walking around. According to the CDC, they represent 2% of the United States population and account for 63% of the estimated new HIV infection in the United States. Think about that. They represent 2% of society, and they account for 63% of people infected with AIDS. It's a disease, it's a sin that God has recompensed with their, and some of you are like, well, I can't believe that you're saying, I can't believe that there'd be a church, but look at what the Word of God says. I mean, you've got to get back to the Bible and say, how does the Word of God want me to think about these things? What does the Word of God want me to say about these things? Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, don't miss it, God gave them over. No, but we're supposed to reach out to them. Why are we reaching out to someone that God gave up on? Why are we reaching out to someone that God gave over? Why are we giving it? Look, if God Almighty, God says, there's nothing I can do for them, why would you and I be trying to reach them? Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate, just look it up on dictionary.com. As far as I know, dictionary.com is not a theological book or a theological website. The word reprobate, according to dictionary.com, is morally depraved and beyond hope of salvation. That's pretty good. He said he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, meaning natural, the things that come naturally. Now, notice verse 29, because people will often bring this list, because then he gives this list. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. People will look at this list and say, well, look, you can't say that these sodomites are so bad. And they'll say, because, you know, look, if someone's fornicating, are they a reprobate? And the answer to that is no. Now, fornication is a grievous sin, and it should be dealt with, especially within the church, and people should be given a time to repent, and if they don't, they should be asked to not be part of the church. But if you're a fornicator, you're not a reprobate, absolutely. If you're covetous, now if someone has covetousness, even that, Bible says something, people should be removed out of church. It's a grievous sin. But if you're covetous, you're not a reprobate. What if you're full of envy? What if you murder? David murdered. Moses murdered. If you murder someone, are you a reprobate? If you debate, if you're deceitful, if you are proud, if you're a boaster, if you're a covenant breaker, you know, and they'll say, you know, but here's what you need to understand. It's not that God has given us a list and saying, the sodomites, these reprobates, they do these things. That's not what he's saying. Notice verse 29. Being filled with, here's the key word. You got to underline this in your Bible or circle in your Bible, all. Is that word all? See, he's not saying, oh, you know, some of them are fornicators, some of them are debaters, some of them are deceitful, some of them are covenant breakers. Because here's the thing, some of us are covenant breakers, some of us are deceitful, some of us are proud. Here's what he's saying, every single one of them has all of these. I mean, if you met one person that had all of these characteristics, would you just say, like, I want you to spend time with my children? I mean, if you met one person that had all unrighteousness, that all of them fornicate, all of them are wicked, all of them are covetous, all of them are malicious, meaning they desire to harm, to inflict injury, all of them are full of envy, all of them murder. That's what God says. All of them debate, all of them deceive. They're all full of malignity, meaning they speak harmful or evil things. They're all whisperers, they're all backbiters. By the way, they're all haters of God. They're all despiteful. They're all proud. They're all boasters. They're all investors of evil things. They're all disobedient to parents. It's not that, oh, you know, if you're disobedient to parents, does that make you a reprobate? People don't say, if you disobey your parents, no, no. It's the fact that they, one sodomite does all of these. This is a characteristic of all they do without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. And look, that's important. Because look, you know what's natural is to look at a child. You know what's natural is to look at a little three-year-old girl. I've got a four-year-old daughter, I've got a two-year-old daughter, and I've got a daughter on the way. You know what's natural is to look at a four-year-old girl and to just love her, to just want to hug her, to just want to protect her. You know what's not natural? To look at a little four-year-old daughter and to see her as some sort of a sexual image. That's disgusting. He says that they're without natural affection. Implacable, meaning they cannot be appeased, they cannot be pacified. That's why he said you just gotta put them to death, because look, they will not stop. They're unmerciful. These characteristics is that they're all of these. They have all of it. They're all wicked, predators, perverted people. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, commit what things? We're not saying that if you commit one of these things, you should be put to death. But we are saying when a reprobate commits all of these, which commit such things, are worthy of death. People say, well, that's the Old Testament. Look, the New Testament says that they're worthy of death. Amen. Now, look, those of you who say, well, I don't know that I believe that. Then what do you do with Romans chapter 1, verse 32? You just cut it out of your Bible and say, well, that's the one part of Scripture. Look, you either believe all of it or you don't believe any of it. We're not here to try to say, well, let me tell you what I like about God's word and what I don't like about God's word. I got to take the whole thing, whether I like it or not. And he says that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You got to understand, God paints a picture of these people as being filthy predators. Let's look at more passages. Go to the book of Jude. If you combine the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation, you got the book of Jude. And look, if you say, well, I just don't agree with you, you know, I think sodomites are fine. Look, whatever. Please don't get around my children, but, you know, whatever. You can believe whatever you want. But at the end of the day, if you're going to call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, you've got to decide, what do you do with all these verses we're reading? Do you believe the Word of God or not? Amen. And see, Christians today have decided that they're just going to ignore entire sections of Scripture and just say, well, that's not applicable today. And look, the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. It's all profitable. It's all applicable. Jude 1, look at verse 7. Jude 1, 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we just talked about in Genesis 19. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Notice, they were fornicating, just like the list said. Going after strange flesh. Strange meaning different than what they should be going after. That's, you know, we always like to point out, that's why, you know, the word queer is a scriptural passage, a scriptural word. Because the word queer means strange. And here he said that they were going after strange flesh are set forth for an example. Look, the Bible says that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah as an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Notice verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers. Because in Jude, he's talking about other reprobates, and he's saying they're like the ones in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. God calls them filthy. Here's what I'm trying to make. There's no scripture in the Bible that speaks positive about sodomites, not one. Find it. Find it and show it to me. I'd love to see it. It doesn't exist. There's not one scripture that paints a nice picture about them. Go to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. If you're going backwards, you're going to go past Jude, past 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, into the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, you have the same, basically, it's a parallel passage to Jude. 2 Peter chapter 2, notice what he says. He's using these Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, and turning the cities, 2 Peter 2, 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Think about that. God destroyed an entire city, two cities. Rained fire upon them. That's how God felt about it. He didn't, look, when God was going to destroy Nineveh, he sends Jonah before to try to see if he can get them saved. When God wants to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sends two angels in to get the one saved guy out so he can destroy all of them. You say, well, why didn't God send an evangelist? Because God gave up on them, that's why. Because God wasn't interested in getting them saved, that's why. Because they were already given over to a reprobate mind, that's why. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Skip down to verse 12, just because I don't have time to go through the whole passage. But the context is that the people he's talking about are like these people. Look at verse 12. But these, notice what God says, okay? This is God's word. I mean, do we believe that this is the inspired, preserved word of God? This is God speaking. This is what God said. He said, but these as natural brute beasts. You know what God calls them? Stupid animals. He says, they're brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, here's a question I have for you. Show me the passage where God says, oh, no, sodomites are fine. We need to bring them into church and just let's love on them. Let's just get them saved. Show it to me. If you show it to me, I mean, look, I don't have a dog in this fight, okay? I just go with what the Bible says. You show me the passage, I'll stand up here next Sunday and say, hey, I was wrong. Here's the passage. I don't know how I missed it, but here it is. God says, love the sodomite. Show it to me. I can promise you it doesn't exist. Go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. See, as Christians, we should not be taking a sympathetic approach to these types of news and saying this was a tragedy. This is something that we're sad about. We should be mourning these people. Because the Bible teaches that they are all predators. That's all the Bible says about them. They're wicked. They're vile. They're predators. And God says that they deserve the death penalty for what they do. That's what God says. Now look, And I'll talk about it here in a second. I'm not saying that we should be doing that. But in God's government, where God set up the laws and God set up the rules and God set up the people in charge, God said, when you find a sodomite, put them to death. He put the death penalty. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God puts the death penalty on the sin of sodomy. And God puts the death penalty on a lot of things. But this unnaturalness is one of them. Now, I want you to keep your place there in Leviticus, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But make your way to 2 Kings, chapter number 23. 2 Kings, you got Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. If you can find all the 1 and 2 books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, find 2 Kings, chapter number 23. And let me say this. Not only, number one, as Christians, should we not be mourning the death of these 50 vile, perverted predators that died today, but number two, let me say this, as Christians, we shouldn't be advocating the killing of sodomites. I'm not standing up here tonight and saying, let's go get some guns and let's go get them. Okay, that's not what I'm saying at all. And people sometimes will hear, you know, someone like me preach or someone like other pastors like me and say, you guys are advocating violence. We're not advocating violence. We're not saying we should go do this, but we're just saying this. If we lived in a righteous nation with a righteous government, then the government should be taking them. There's no tragedy. I wish the government would round them all up, put them up against a firing wall, put a firing squad in front of them, and blow their brains out. If we lived in a righteous government that loved God and loved children and wanted to protect them, that's what we do. I'm not saying we should do it. I'm not saying we should go, you know, blow up Planned Parenthood. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is this. If God had his way, that's what he'd do. And by the way, in the millennium, that's what will be done. God's laws will be reestablished. And you know, and here's the funny thing is, you know, today America's like, I can't believe you say this. In America, they put sodomites to death. Did you know that? The death penalty was on homosexuality in the early days of the United States, back in the 1600s and 1700s. Did you know that prior to 1962, sodomy was a felony in every state, punished by a lengthy term of imprisonment and or hard labor? They considered them insane. In 1962, Illinois became the first state to legalize it. And that wasn't that long ago. We've came a long way. But look, we're not saying, we as Christians, let me make this clear, we should not be advocating the killing of sodomites or violence towards sodomites. Look, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, I'm not interested in fighting a physical battle. We've got to fight the spiritual battle. Our focus is on preaching the gospel and getting people saved. We don't need to go fight these people or put these people to death. Here's what I'm saying. We shouldn't be advocating what happened today, but we shouldn't be sad about it either. We shouldn't be saying, like, yeah, you know, let's go get some guns and do this. But we shouldn't be all, you know, just tripping all over ourselves to say, well, this is terrible. We need to do something. No, we don't need to do anything. As far as I'm concerned, Orlando's just a little safer tonight. Number three, as Christians, though our society and culture accept sodomy, we should not welcome them into our churches and lives. Are you there in 2 Kings chapter 23? There's a couple examples I can give, but I'm just going to give you one. Some of you need to decide, you know, do I believe the Word of God? What do you do with these verses? 2 Kings 23. Here's what's happening in 2 Kings 23. A righteous king comes in, and they're literally having revival. And in verse 7, the Bible says, he break down the houses of the sodomites that were, don't miss this, by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. The Bible says that when this king comes in, he breaks down their houses just because they live by the house of God. He said, I don't even want you near. He put like a blue dot on them and said, you can't even be around the house of God, okay? Let's break. And today you've got Christians standing up. Not only are they allowed to be around the house of God, let's bring them into the house of God. Today you got Christians saying, you know, sodomites are welcome in, pedophiles are, I mean, I know of Baptist churches in Sacramento that are harboring pedophiles right now. And just lying to their people and just not, you know, it's like one deacon and one pastor knows about it. And look, churches that are doing that are putting those children in danger. That's right, amen. And at Verity Baptist Church, we don't allow no pedophile, no sodomite. None of them are welcome here. We don't want them around us. We don't want them around our kids. You say, don't you think this is going to, you know, affect your church growth? I care more about our children than trying to get a crowd here. I care more about protecting young people that need protecting. And by the way, that's why we don't separate them from their parents. That's why we keep them with their mom and dad all the time. The Bible says that he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that just because they were by the house of God, just because they were near the house of God. He said, you can't be here. I said, number one, as Christians, we shouldn't be mourning the death of these 50 Sodomites. Number two, as Christians, we shouldn't be advocating the killing of Sodomites. Let me just make that clear. We shouldn't be we're not going to go to militia and do nothing, all right? Some of you, you're so excited. Let's go soul winning. But we're not going to shed a tear for it either. Number three, as Christians, though our society and culture accepts sodomy, we shouldn't welcome it. We shouldn't bring it in. We shouldn't, look, there are people in my personal life that we've had to just cut off and say, we can't be around you because you're a sodomite, you know, once we found out. And as Christians, we need to just take that stand and realize we can't have these people around and just say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It's a grievous sin. Go to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. Let me say this, number four. I said number one, as Christians, we shouldn't be mourning the death of these 50 sodomites. Number two, as Christians, we should be advocating we should not be advocating the killing. Someone's gonna take that clip and let me fix that. As Christians, we should not be advocating the killing of sodomites. Number three, as Christians, though our society and our culture accept sodomy, we shouldn't welcome it into our churches. We shouldn't accept it. Number four, as Christians, we should be speaking up against this grave sin of sodomy. Look, sodomy is not just enough. Here's what they want us to think. They're like, what's just another sin like every other sin? You know, like you get mad sometimes and lose your temper. That's the same as a man going to bed with another man. It's like, that's insanity, okay? Are you there in Genesis 13? Look at verse 13. But the men of Sodom, this is what God said, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Look at this word, exceedingly. This was an exceeding sin. Some sins are worse than others. I know today people want to teach all sins are the same. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere.
That's right, amen.
All sins are not the same. There are some sins that are worse than others. There are some parts of hell that are going to be worse for some people than others. And look, I was thinking about this afternoon when I was going through my notes. Rahm Emanuel, who's Obama's chief of staff back then, I think he's the mayor of Chicago now. Remember, he has this famous quote that everybody talked about. He said, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And look, I can promise you, they were going to be using this as an opportunity to attack gun rights. They're going to be using this as an opportunity to attack freedom of speech. They're going to be using this as an opportunity to lump in fundamentalist Christians with these radical Islamist terrorists. They're not going to let this crisis go to waste. They're going to push this. They're going to use this to push their agenda. And, you know, I wouldn't, and I'm not saying I think this, but I wouldn't be surprised if this guy wasn't even a Muslim. I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if this guy was paid to do this, you know? Because here's the thing. They use these types of things to push an agenda. And the agenda is always disarming people. The agenda is always taking away our rights. The agenda is always, you know, just making it so that it will be easier to bring in the Antichrist. It will be easier to bring in the one world government. It'll be easier to bring in the one world religion. Because it'll be easier to attack Christians who actually believe the Bible.
Right.
And look, it's time for normal people to speak up. Look, because here's the thing. They represent 2% of society. You can't tell me that 98%. I know there are some wackos out there that aren't sodomites and think like, well, it's fine. I get that. But you can't tell me that 98% of Americans just, the vast majority of normal people know that it's gross. It's not right. But here's the problem. They'll use things like this event today to shut normal people up. To make it so that the average preacher is going to say, well, I can't preach that sermon. I can't touch that subject. I better just get up and say, let's pray for the victims. I can't stand up and say sodomy is a sin. I mean, good night. You know, and they use these things to try to shut us up. But you know what we should do as Christians is just stand up and say, no, you know what? That happened over there, but it doesn't change anything. Doesn't change the fact that we need to stand against it. Doesn't change the fact that we need to preach against it. It doesn't say change the fact. And if normal Christians, and here's the thing, if Baptist preachers or preachers who say they believe the Word of God would just stand up and say, no, here's what the Bible says. I mean, that would be enough. to move back the tide that's coming in. Look, they have their agenda is on full court press right now. I mean, they are trying to push this transgender garbage. They're trying to push all of this stuff. And we just need to get up and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. And normal people are going to stand up and say, no, we're done with it. Get your 2% of people and go somewhere else. Go, you know, get an island somewhere and leave us alone if we're not going to be able to put you to death. Because here's the thing, and here's what you need to understand. And can you make your way back to Leviticus 20? You say, well, why preach sermons like this? And here's why. And here's what you need to understand. America is in trouble. I mean, America is going to be destroyed. Obviously, we know that because America is Babylon. But we are in trouble. And the destruction of America may come sooner than we think. Because here's what's interesting. Keep your finger there in Leviticus 20. And go to the book of Ezekiel. Let me show you a couple of things. We'll finish up here soon. Keep your finger in Leviticus 20. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 9. It's the big books, the big major prophets. You got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 9. And look at verse number 9. I think Ezekiel 9:9 is one of the most interesting verses in the Bible. Because the Bible says this. Because sometimes people will ask me, like, well, what, you know, why did God destroy an entire, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah? Or why does God destroy entire nations? Because obviously a nation is full of sinners. So what are those sins that moves the hand of God to the point where he's going to destroy them, where he's going to judge the entire nation? Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 9 says this, "Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel in Judah," notice, "is exceeding great." Iniquity is referring to their sin. He said, they don't just have sin, their sin is exceeding great. And, notice what he says, number one, okay, the land is full of blood. And, here's number two, the city is full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. You know what the Bible teaches? That when what moves the hand of God to finally judge a nation is these two things. When a land is full of blood, when there is shedding of blood, when people are dying, you know, and we're talking about innocent blood here. Or either and or a city or a nation is full of perverseness. And it's interesting because if you go back to Leviticus chapter 20, in Leviticus chapter 20, and we won't take the time to read the entire chapter. We looked through this recently on a Wednesday night. But in Leviticus chapter 20, he gives us a list of all the sins that the nations in Canaan were doing, the nations that he told the nation of Israel to go in and completely destroy. And here's what they were doing. I won't take the time to read the whole thing. But in verses 1 through 5, we find that they were sacrificing their own children as burnt human sacrifices. They were shedding innocent blood. In verse 13, we read it, they were partaking in sodomy. In verse 15, they were partaking in bestiality. In verse 17 and 19, you see incest. You see other things like adultery and witchcraft, and it's all in this passage. And in verse 23 of Leviticus 20, he says this, "And as you shall walk, and you shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed," notice what he says, "all these things, and therefore I abhorred them." And here's what he says. These people were killing their children. They were taking part of perverseness. He said, I abhorred them. And then he told the children of Israel to go in and kill everybody in those nations. Man, woman, and child. He said, get rid of them. Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, just get rid of all of them. And look, the judgment of God comes upon a nation when they cross these two lines. They shed innocent blood. And the city is full of perverses. You know what, in the United States of America, we're having 3,000 aborted children killed every day. We have a innocent blood-shedding machine in this country. And then at the same time, we're pushing the sodomites, we're pushing transgender, we're pushing all this perverseness. And it's just a matter of time before the hand of God comes down on this country. Because God, you know, there's just some things, and here's the problem. You say, well, why does he judge the entire nation? Because not everybody in the nation is a sodomite, right? Not everyone in the nation is having an abortion. But here's the thing. When a group of people puts their stamp of approval on that, and when a group of people says, yeah, I know that many kids are dying, but what are you going to do about it? And just kind of just shrugs their shoulder and says, well, that is what it is. God says, you know what? This nation has just crossed a line. Because someone needs to stand up and protect these children. Someone needs to stand up and speak against this perverseness. Somebody needs to stand up and say, look, like, this is wrong, and we're not just going to take it, and you can call us whatever you want. You can call us terrorists. You can say whatever you want. But if we would stand up, and here's what I'm saying. If we as Christians would stand up and just say, no, it's not right. Just, look, when people bring it up to you, just saying, like, hey, look, I think sodomy is wicked. I think they're all perverts. You say, well, people would think I'm crazy. But if enough Christians were saying it, wouldn't be so crazy anymore. And Christians used to say it. And preachers used to say it. But we don't take the stand anymore. And you say, well, how do we respond to this? What do we think about this? What do we think? Here's what we think about it. We don't mourn the death of them. They deserve what they got. You reap what you sow. But we don't advocate it either. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not calling people to arms. And if somebody goes out and says, I'm going to go kill a sodomite, and I'm going to do it because Pastor Jimenez preached a sermon, you didn't listen to the sermon. Because that's not what we're saying. But you know what? As Christians, we need to just stand up and say, I don't care if people accept this, if people think it's normal, if people think it's right. As Christians, we need to stand up and say, no, we're standing against it. No, we're not going to let you shut us up. No. You can have all your little, you know, massacres you want, and we're still going to say it's wrong, and we're still going to stand against it, and we're not going to let you intimidate us into shutting up about it, because that's what they want. They want us to be able to say, well, let's not talk about it, you know, because, I mean, did you hear what happened in Florida? And you know what? As Christians, we need to just say, yeah, I heard about what happened in Florida. I'm not advocating it, but I'm still against it. And you know what? Every less sodomite there is in this country, it's better for our country. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just wanted to say that we had a record-breaking attendance here this morning. Normally, we have around 200 people in church on a Sunday morning. Today, we have 281. And I just want to thank the media for all the free publicity.
What would you say? Any response to the... Okay.